Good evening and welcome to episode 25 of Matushka's Right Peg, a quarter of a century of episodes. Thanks everyone for listening. Had a bit of a bumper listenership when I was away making tea for my mother-in-law. Today in the podcast studio, we're joined as ever by Kyle and Mark. Don is also making an appearance and we're welcoming back the Union Berlin author, Baz Timmers. More on that later. First up though, Baz, we haven't made our predictions. The guys in the pod have made theirs last week. We've got a little bit of a head start on them, I guess, because we've got two league games where we've done pretty well. So we'll get on to the actual games later on, but maybe you, like me, are feeling pretty confident after seeing how we've got on. How do you think we'll fare in the various competitions this year, Bundesliga, Pokal? I mean, we've got Mark saying that we're going to win the Europa League after just dropping out of the Champions League. We've got Kyle saying we're going to win the Pokal, I think. I can't remember what harebrained stuff Donald was coming out with, but there's a lot of confidence in the pod. Are you going to burst that bubble, or are you going to predict some big things for Union this season?
Well, I have to draw the Dutch card here, and I'm not going to get dragged away by the enthusiasm of the other guys. I don't think we're actually going to win something. I do think that we're going to survive Christmas in Europe. I assume not in the Champions League, but I think we're going to progress to the Europa League and we might make it into the quarterfinal, which is going to fuck up the rest of our season because we're not going to win the Pokal because of that. And we're not going to qualify for the next season of the Champions League, which will be the hardest to comprehend ever. But I am quite confident that we're going to qualify for Europe again this season. So I hope I didn't extinguish all of your enthusiasm and confidence.
No, Baz, no. As a Dutchman, you're always blunt. And that is a blunt assessment of the season as you see it. I mean, I must admit, I think that I'm making the predictions after seeing Gerson's play. And on the back of 2-4-1 victories, one of them for nigh on 80 minutes with 10 men. So I must admit that I probably agree with Don, actually, because I think, Don, you said that you didn't really think that being a huge amount of investment, the teams around us, that you were kind of looking at them thinking, wow, a lot's changed since last year. I think we've improved. Obviously, we don't know if we're going to get maybe an experienced centre-half from Italy. We don't know who's going to leave at this juncture. We don't know if we've got any, if Olli Runert's got any surprise signings up his sleeve. Maybe there's something that we don't know about. But looking at the first two games, which I've got the advantage of, I definitely see a top four finish. I think we might finish third this year. I think we've got a very, very good chance of that. I fully understand, Baz, your concerns about being a bit sort of threadbare at times if we're battling in Europe, but we've got the experience of doing that. I mean, 15 minutes in, we'd run a kilometre more than Darmstadt. So this is not just Union steamrolling people with new skillful players. It's we're continuing our model of we outrun people. I do worry at home if some teams start to come to Union and put 11 men behind the ball. That is a big concern, but I think that, as I said in the group chat the other day, I think we're starting to see that there might be players that can unlock games for us. Yeah, we might concede a bit more than last season, but we did have an absolute stellar record, and maybe we'll see how things go without our influential midfielder Rani Khedira, a big miss, admittedly, but maybe having some different types of players might help us in certain games. And I do think with our injuries, we've got a pretty good squad.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to add as well as a caveat. Like there's this strange thing happening that we almost didn't have any injuries in the last 2 years. There were statistics as well. Kyle can probably fill us in on that, on the average amount of days that players were missing at each club. And Union was consistently, I think, the one who had the best injury record in the last two seasons. And now we've got like this avalanche of injuries, starting with Toussaint, then Khedira with an in-game injury. Duki got a kick in the head on Saturday and had a light surgery this weekend. Becker has something on his hamstrings, I think, if I saw it correctly last weekend. And I am probably forgetting one or two additional players as well. So if you look at the players that we still have in hand and what we have on the bench is quite insane, because it would have easily made for a starting 11 2 years ago, I'd say.
Just to add to that, Mark, just picking up something you said also, I mean, the prediction we made in the last pod, which was knew it would be fulfilled quicker, sooner rather than later. Fofana was going to get injured, and sure enough, he was injured almost immediately. He's a great player, but that hanging on to the ball, I think we all predicted that. The thing that struck me about just picking up on something you said, Mark, the first two games, is I was lucky enough to go and see, living in Southampton, when Letizier was at his peak. And I'll tell you what, you never knew what was going to happen every week, except it wasn't going to be nil-nil. There was going to be a huge number of goals, and it was going to be sort of quite end-to-end stuff. And that's, it feels totally un-Union-like, really, some of the way we've been playing the first two games. And I think it will be a roller coaster in that we were going to score a lot, but I think, you know, we're going to let a lot in, but it's going to be a completely different style and journey, I think, this year. And but I've still got high hopes that we can be in the top six. I agree with you on that.
I think it'll be interesting in the Champions League when we face some giants, and it's literally going to be 11 men, not just behind the ball, but probably not getting a kick for large swathes of the game. But then look at, say, Sheffield United against Man City. Obviously, Man City managed to go into this sort of superb fifth gear and get it back, but win 2-1. But Sheffield United gave them a really good game. I think Union at home, we are at home in Berlin. Other teams are having still to travel. We have sold 40,000 sort of these mini season tickets. Great value, I agree. €25 per game. Potentially we're going to be playing Real Madrid, Man City, Arsenal, whoever. €25 for that is fantastic. So well done to the club. Bit of a waste of 6 or 7 hours of my day making sure that we all had tickets, but as you guys covered in the pod last week, we all have tickets and we're in the Champions League, so there's not too much to grumble about. And fully endorse the club also helping people out who, if they can't afford it, there are tickets available for people, which is fantastic, and you wouldn't get that anywhere else or in many places anyway. But in terms of your hopes, Baz, you think we'll drop out of the Champions League straight away, but do you think we'll drop into the Europa? Is that your thoughts? And then you just feel that playing that long in Europe again, we just don't have the squad to compete in so many different competitions. Is that your kind of concern?
It's hard to say, yeah. But if I look at the past two European seasons for us, I think we had a lot of really, really tough games. And we dragged us through the Europa League with 6-1-0 games, you know, two that went against us and four that went for us. But I think that is a trick that is very difficult to repeat in the Champions League. Of course, it hinges on what kind of draw we have. But like you just said, there are too many teams that can just go into fifth gear, sixth gear, seventh gear, if needed to outplay us. And I just don't think that we have the quality to survive the really good teams in the Champions League. I do think that our squad, on average, has a much higher level than last year. We gained a lot of experience. There are people who've already seen Champions League final, even in the case of Gosens 2 months ago. Let's not forget that. So I do think we have a we have a good chance of getting quite far in the Europa League just based on the quality of the squad. But if you count the number of games, Mark, it's already 34 in the league, 6 in the group stage of the Champions League. Then you would have to survive the qualification round for the Europa League. That's 42. Round of 16, 44, and some cup games. You're already looking at 50 games at the highest level. I'm not sure whether we're yet at the level where we can actually keep up for 50 games. You know, I think that that might still be a couple of games too far for us.
Well, speaking of a couple of games, we have had a couple of games. The home victory 4-1. And the away victory, again 4-1. Don, you were there. Tell us a bit about the match day experience first of all. How was the trip to Darmstadt?
Yeah, it was good. I came down from Dusseldorf in the morning, so but got there in plenty of time. Nice town, a new one for me, so not that far from Frankfurt. Was it not a huge stadium? So you'll have seen it on the television or on the playback. We had 1,600 tickets. So I was there quite early. I was having a joke with some of you because the only place I could find nearby to get a drink was an Arrow petrol station. So, and our colleague Andrew was saying on the WhatsApp, you know, this beer and culture and the football that people aspire to in Germany, it wasn't quite living the dream, sitting on a petrol forecourt 2.5 hours before the game, having a drink. But it was all very amenable, and of course it doesn't feel like football, does it, when it's still the late summer and it was quite hot. In keeping with many trips to stadiums I've been to with Union, they have this assault course. I think the DFB must have some sort of healthy living challenge for all the beer and cigarettes we consume. The away fans get these kilometre long routes around the stadium to get to the away end. When there's a direct path, obvious another way, but that logic doesn't apply. So we had a 3-kilometre walk, I think, or a couple of kilometres around the stadium, but it was through a forest. So I felt quite at home. And as you'll have seen and as you'll know, I mean, it was a fantastic game. I was thinking about this before you. I was up the top where the flags weren't, so I did actually see most of the game. I thought we were absolutely tremendous. And, of course, you'll reflect on that, the colleagues. I do think, you know, and don't get me wrong, we've got some very good players and some very high quality. But Gosens is like a thoroughbred racehorse that's, you know, has won the you know, all the classic race. You can just see something about him physically, the way he holds his body, the way he uses the ball. He just looks a class act. And if he continues to play like he did on Saturday, I think that'll be a very good season. Again, something you won't need me to tell you, but, you know, when the sending off occurred, the fans, you know, they were brilliant, and they're always brilliant, but they were exceptional. And I was thinking of all the games I've been to see them away, probably the Schalke one when we won 6-1 last year, and the Dortmund one, the first one in the Pokal when we got the red anoraks for the first time, really stand out. But that was up there with them. It was a really fantastic experience, and it did literally feel like we were the 11th man once we have the sending off. And of course, the goal, every time we got a corner or a free kick, you know, you thought we were going to score. So I won't go into much more detail about that. As always, you know, it was a great experience, and I had a bit of a schleck back on the train, and I had to connect through Köln, where the carnival was in full swing and there was thousands of people in the station, was on a train like a sardine, and got back to Dusseldorf at 11 o'clock at night. But it was definitely worth it. Real great, great away day, great Unioner. Nice.
Sounds brilliant, Don. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty wild. Someone like Gosens is playing for Union, and I mean, even more crazy, really, that at 29 years old, you like you say, he's in his prime. But that was his Bundesliga debut. not to forget. So pretty impressive stuff. And I did enjoy the way that when he came off, of course he could have just ran straight across the pitch, but he did the clever thing. He was 5 or 10 yards from the sideline. He knew that if he walked off that way, he could walk past the you guys, the Unioner, who were in that bottom corner. And as we know, he was giving it a good sort of fist pump and really getting things going. And yeah, not only obviously a class player, but really buying into things straight away. And I think his first quip when he was asked how things were after the game, he just went, "Oh, I'm absolutely knackered," which I thought was brilliant as well, because he absolutely ran his socks off as well. So it's not like you're buying a prima donna who doesn't want to graft. This is a guy who has left everything out there. Mark, what were your thoughts on Saturday?
Fully agree with you on Gosens. He's a heck of a player, and I did mention this in the last episode of the pod that people are going to be surprised by him. I don't think that there was a few people who weren't that convinced when, especially for the money, which apparently, according to Olli Runert in the Sportstudio on Saturday night, is in the region of 13 million all told, including options, and not the 15 million that people are bandying around. That aside, to be honest, I think he's worth 15 million and more, to be honest. He's got that X factor. He understands immediately what Union is about. I read his column in El Freunde, which is a German football magazine. He's a very eloquent guy. He's an educated guy, and he just fits with Union. Already see him being a big fan favorite. I would compare him, if I had to compare him in terms of his background, I would maybe to listeners listening in from the UK, I would maybe compare him to Owen Hargreaves a little bit, because Owen Hargreaves is the person who English football fans saw in an England strip and nowhere else back in the day, because he'd never played in England and didn't play in England, in fact, until he went to Man U later on in his career. And if anyone who watched Bayern back then would tell you, he was a fantastic player, a really, really Rolls Royce of a midfielder. And yet English people didn't really warm to him, because they only saw him in an England setting when it wasn't going perhaps good. So I'm glad that that Union especially, and also German audiences, are finally seeing him in full flight, and a great start. The games themselves, I think we've covered more or less. What I would like to say, though, is the Darmstadt game one in past years that we would have ended up winning, and one that we would have ended up winning so convincingly as well, especially in the past year. I'm thinking of the games against Fürth, against Bochum, against Paderborn in the cup, people like that. I got a very strange feeling when that red card happened, and then they scored 3 minutes later to get back to parity. I was thinking, oh God, here we go again, and we ended up winning 4-1 with 10 men for 60-70 minutes of the game. So yeah, there's more than one way to skin a cat. Maybe this is the way we're doing it. We're not looking at Becker to stretch the opposition so often and pass the ball into the net. Maybe it is sometimes a case of horses for courses. We're going to get Juranovic to whip cross after cross after cross after cross in there. And if we've got the right people on the end of it and they're doing the right things, then we'll have more success than failure. Maybe that's the way we're looking. Not sure. We'll see anyway.
Well, I mean, they always say that the sign of the really, really great managers is not just getting success year after year, but it's changing the style of play, because you can very quickly be found out. So I really like Becker. I do really like him. I had sort of slight misgivings maybe at one stage when I thought he was actually a bit cocky, but then he backed it up with some great finishes, because I think it was fair to say at his sort of start of his Union tenure, sometimes his final product or even shot, if it wasn't a cross, was a little bit suspect. I'm still surprised. I'll still be surprised if we keep him.
changed his agent in the summer. Maybe his big money move is next year, though, when he goes on a free and he can get a bit of the signing on fee. I don't know. I'd much rather see him in our side this year if we can hold on to him. But the different style of play will be interesting to see if we continue that. Leipzig will be a huge test.
Mark, could I just add before I forget about the Darmstadt game? Kral was like a metronome, you know, and through the second half, he just does nothing complicated, but he gets a success rate of 80 or 90%. And we were whipping the balls in, that was right, but he gave us a rhythm. He gave us a rhythm and he never, you know, he kept going and going. I think I think he's one of those quiet ones that can just hold the team together. I didn't think he was strong enough, but I changed my mind on Saturday.
Yeah, that's interesting, Don, because there was one moment when we were down to 10 men. Kral was pressing and he turned around and people weren't pressing with him. And he kind of went, come on, like, we're still going to press. So I think in the original formation, they had him much further back, but he was playing at the very kind of the top of that midfield diamond, if you like. And he was always, the metronome is a very, very good description, because he was really, really keeping Union playing in a certain way. Which would be interesting to see how that develops. Kyle, I know you had to, you probably sat through a Celtic game where you had a team with 11 men behind the ball, but we certainly didn't see that from Darmstadt as the young pretenders. They had a real go, and as Mark said, at 1-1, I was pretty worried. How did you see things on Saturday?
Well, I didn't see them because I was at the rugby. Scotland were playing their final Rugby World Cup warm-up game, but I'm not going to bore you with that. I did, though, make sure to catch Sports Studio that evening and then watch the long highlights that come out in Germany on a Sunday evening, and was quite impressed. I thought the red card was bullshit. Neither of the offences were a yellow card. The second yellow is a dive, or the contact is minimal and your man went down like there was a sniper on the roof. And then for kicking the ball away, you know, it wasn't exactly an angry kick away. He just essentially played his next touch. You see that? If that's a yellow card, then there's going to be red cards every game because it happens every single foul. I think that's absolutely ridiculous. And then just on that, I would imagine there'll be people that listen to this pod to kind of hear, you know, particularly those stateside, about how Brendan Harrison is getting on and so on. The abuse that he got from Leeds fans afterwards online was ridiculous. You know, no wonder Leeds are a club that get relegated last season and playing murder football and are struggling in the Championship so far this season. You know, if that's the support you give your players, then you deserve nothing but relegation after relegation after relegation. Like, go fuck yourselves. You know, we support our players no matter how well they are playing or not. You know, everyone has their bad days. Those people giving abuse, would it be the same if we went into your workplace and said that you were shit or you were this and you were that? No, you wouldn't like it, and it's not going to make you perform any better. You know, just because you're a fan of a team doesn't give you a right to give your players abuse. So, yeah. And I thought that what Sweetman said on the club's official, the English language Twitter channel, was spot on. You know, it didn't deserve any of that shit. The sending off was dreadful. And in his game against Mainz, I thought he was quite all right. You know, The guy has got a lot of effort and he played a lovely pass to the first goal. Again, having not watched it live, I was kind of relying on the trickle of updates that come in and signal that Murrayfield is not the best. So I just got a notification. And I knew there was a red card and then seen we'd conceded. I still had signal to that point. And then my phone goes off and just see there's a goal. I was like, right, I don't want to see that, assuming that we'd gone 2-0 and it went off again. I was like, I'm assuming we're 3-1 down. So what a surprise to come out of the game to find that we'd won 4-1. At any time we've gone down to red 10 men, I don't think we've I don't think we've won or we've managed to get points out of it, particularly for that long. You know, any time we lose a man, I just think about, you know, war flashbacks to Leverkusen just before COVID and the cup and so on. But suitably impressed. We're really showing the strength in the squad. The fact that we've got two superb fullbacks on each side now, I think, is going to be really key to our success this season, because we can rotate effectively and thus manage the workload, which will hopefully stand us in good stead. Because, yeah, like Baz mentioned earlier, we're going to be playing a lot of games this season, but to have such good options in probably the most important places for us, you know, the wing backs are as vital as the goalkeeper probably for us at the moment. And I think that'll stand us in good stead. And it's shown it so far, you know, so many headers and that. You need good wing backs to provide those opportunities.
Absolutely. A lot to agree with there. It is funny. I mean, I've supported a few different clubs, living in different places in my time. And I don't think I've ever seen a player improve after being lambasted as being shit by his own fans. So there you go. It's funny that you mentioned reception, actually. And also, this is a bit of a link to a game yesterday, because I don't know if anyone saw the Newcastle v Liverpool game, but Trent Alexander-Arnold, first caution for kicking the ball away, very similar. Second one went in, bit of a challenge. The referee didn't send him off. The referee gave him a talking to and said, look, you've had your yellow card for kicking the ball away, which is, I think, something they're trying to clamp down on, this kind of element of sly time wasting. So I've got no issue with his first yellow card, to be honest. I'd probably take issue with the second one. Even if it's a foul, I think the referee has sort of due care to actually just go over and say, look, you've had a yellow, that's one. I'm not giving you another one. I thought it was just really, really poor refereeing, to be honest. And I thought the lad was unlucky. But as regards reception, a friend of mine is on a trip in the fjords, bizarrely on the same group with Mikaela Strachan, would you believe? But he's a Newcastle fan, and he had reception up until 75 minutes. And he said he woke up this morning to a slightly surprise that they've got beaten 2-1. It reminds me once of when I was on the way up to the Shetlands in 1990, and Sunderland were playing in the playoff final against Swindon. And what happened was, me and my dad had this radio, and we heard that Gary Bennett had scored. What we didn't know is that it was an own goal. I'm sure we've all got those tales of strange receptions, etc. But do tweet them in if you have any weird and wonderful tales, and I'll endeavour to check the Onion in English account and try and be a bit more active. Now it's back to the season, and we'll read a couple out if anyone's got any good stories. Anyway, we've got the Champions League coming up. The draw is on Thursday. I'm actually at a one-day festival. I'm going to see Yeahs, Amel and the Snifters. Don, you're a big fan, I know. Prodigy are playing at midnight. So that'll be a fun work day on Friday. If you're listening, Asher, go easy on Friday, please. One of my work colleagues is a big fan of the podcast. And Baz, I think you've got some other engagements on Thursday while the Champions League draw is going on. What are you up to?
Well, first I have to survive a Yeah Yeah Yeahs concert tomorrow in Berlin, actually, because we're recording this on Monday night, and I'm finally going to see Karen O after 10 years. So I'm really looking forward to that. Awesome. And then I'm going to head off to the Netherlands on Thursday, because there is a book presentation, and not just a book presentation, but in the last 12 months, I have been working on a Dutch language book about Union, basically for a magazine that's very similar to El Freunde. I don't know whether there is an English or UK equivalent of that, but it's very much catered towards groundhoppers, people that like, well, not traditional football, but I'd say like real football, not a commercial kind of football that you sometimes see in in the Premier League in these very sterile stadiums, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, sorry, I was just going to say there's an excellent publication called When Saturday Comes in the UK, which is very much more dealing with the kind of obscure stories, great pictures, et cetera.
I knew it existed, but I lost the name. So thanks for that. So we're first going to have a look at the draw of the Champions League. Then we're going to eat bratwurst and schnitzel, because it turns out that there is actually a bratwurst and schnitzel restaurant in the south of Amsterdam. And then we're going to do the book presentation. And the book is already available for pre-order, not only in the Netherlands, but everywhere in Europe, only for €24.95. I have no idea what it is in Great British Pounds, but they do ship outside of the Netherlands. Unfortunately for everyone, it's in Dutch.
Yeah, well, Oppenheimer learned Dutch in about, I don't know, what is it, 4 weeks or something? So there's hope for us all, Baz. If you speak German, you can probably learn Dutch. It's basically the same, isn't it?
Yeah, just a simpler version, because we actually managed to, you know, compromise on the rules, on the grammar rules, which, as we all know, the Germans don't do compromise. So that's why you end up with nominative, accusative, genitive, dative, and all the things where you're really wondering, like, what the fuck is this about and why? We made it simpler and more pragmatic, as you might expect from Dutch people.
Well, speaking of simple and speaking of pragmatic, you obviously have put a lot of work into the book, but what was maybe one or two standout moments, whether it's interviewing people or stuff that after you kind of put the book together, you look back on and went, oh, wow.
Well, I guess it's almost more about, it's more like an anthropological study than it's about football. And what I thought was the most interesting, at least for me personally, is we've always seen like the Wende and the fall of the wall from a Western perspective as something that's like really good. But we never really knew, at least I didn't, what happened on the other side of the wall and what way of life they had. And actually talking to a lot of people with an Union history, I got a sneak peek into what it used to be to live in Karl Marxstadt, for instance, in the 1980s. Because I talked with a friend of us. Yeah, we call him the professor. He is a professor. He's a marketing professor. So that's why I talked to him and interviewed him for the book. But we also ended up talking 2 hours about growing up in the DDR and somehow working around the system, ignoring the system, just moving along enough so you wouldn't end up in Stasi's hands. And that there were actually a lot of good aspects of the DDR, obviously, as well. Freedom of opinion not being one of them. But for instance, abortion was settled. Equal rights for women was kind of settled. Homosexuality, you know, it was arranged. It was accepted as well, apparently. And I actually thought that sneak peek into the DDR way of life and their perception of the fall of the wall was super interesting. It also somehow almost explains this underdog attitude that a lot of Uniona have. This let's try to fix this amongst ourselves and not have other people get involved. You know, we're responsible for this. And it also explains kind of an attitude of a lot of people in the top management of the club who still stem from the DDR days and who grew up in the DDR. And I think it's still going to like determine the character of our club for at least the next 10 to 15 years.
Fascinating stuff, Baz. And first of all, well done on producing a book. It must have been a very challenging thing to do, along with all the other projects that I know that you're involved with. So hope it all goes well. And look forward to hearing some more stories that you can translate.
Just saying, by the way, I'm in Rotterdam all week and I'm free on Thursday night, Baz. Hint, hint.
I'd love to invite you, but there were 50 places and we already have 60 people coming. So if you just show up, I mean, regarding your size and your good vibes, I don't think that anybody would get the idea to not let you in. They probably think that you're the bouncer, which is also a very...
Probably safe. Need one. Sounds like you need one, Baz, if too many people come. I can
definitely
do that job.
Need one as well. Yeah. But yeah, you're always welcome, and I will let you in, obviously, Don. So you're welcome.
There you go. Connecting people in the Netherlands. Great stuff. And some part-time work for Don, because I know you need to keep at it, Don, don't you? All these away matches won't pay for themselves. So we've got the Champions League coming up, as we said, and we've also got a couple of games before that. So maybe, first of all, Mark, we've had 2-4-1 wins. Are you expecting us to beat the marketing construct at home 4-1? Are you expecting us to beat Wolfsburg? What are your thoughts on the next couple of games that we've got?
Well, I think we don't really have anything to fear against Leipzig. I mean, I think I say this quite often in the podcast about not fearing people. Leipzig always seem to do a number on us in Leipzig, but at home we seem to be relatively okay, do relatively okay against them. The only thing that maybe muddies the waters a little bit is the injury situation, which, as we've touched on, Durkee is probably not going to play because of his broken cheekbone. That's probably going to be the most decisive miss at the back, because assuming that nobody else comes in, no other transfers comes in, that means that we're probably going to have Paul Yekel at the back. And as we know, that's never dull, especially against a fast team like Leipzig. So that could go... That I don't think it'll be nil-nil. Let's see. I am confident, though, and I'm also confident about the Wolfsburg game as well. Also hold nothing to fear for us, but Wolfsburg depends on how we deal with Jonas Wind, who's had a very good start to the season. He's scored, I think, in every game so far as well, and is the typical player who we don't do very well against, a tall, mobile striker. So let's see. I think we might be 3 points from the two games. It might be one win, one loss. Not sure which way around that's going to be. If we manage to stay unbeaten, fantastic. 6 points, as always, would be a dream. Let's see.
Indeed. I think, both, as you say, both games are going to be a test of our defensive frailties or our way of play. So two very different games coming up, one at home, one away. Kyle, I know you're big fan of our friends in the East. How do you think it's going to go?
Well, we haven't lost a game at home in God knows how long, quite a while. It's a longer streak in the Bundesliga, and I don't think we're going to start. It's going to be a tough game. They looked superb in the Super Cup, and then they went and lost to Leverkusen in the first match day. So, yeah. I think we've got a good shout. They didn't look great in the game on Friday night until Nubel decided that he was going to give them a goal and then another goal that got chopped off. But yeah, I think we'll beat Leipzig. I always want us to beat Leipzig, and I think that we can and we should. And I hope that Paul Yekel, if that's who ends up taking the spot, I hope he does have a good game and kind of takes the opportunity by the scruff of the neck and shows what he can do in the position in a good way. And then off to Wolfsburg, I don't think, again, like Jameson said, we shouldn't fear anyone at this point. You know, we are playing Champions League football for a reason. We are consistently one of the best teams in the league the last three seasons. There's no reason why we cannot beat anyone in the league, no matter who it is and what day. So, yeah, go in, hope for 6 points, of course. But avoiding defeat in Wolfsburg would be grand. But yeah, definitely want to win against Leipzig. Always do. Can't stand them, as we're all well aware.
Indeed. I think it might be 2-2 against the marketing construct. I think we'll win away at Wolfsburg 2-1. Don, have you got any of those games coming up for yourself in the flesh, or are you taking a well-earned rest from your travels?
Yes, I'm afraid a slight chance of Wolfsburg, but not of the construct. I just what I said before about, you know, this way we're playing this year, which is different so far. I think there's no way it's a goalless draw against Leipzig. And it does worry me, this one, because both against Mainz and Darmstadt, they had lots of chances, both teams. You know, we saved two penalties, but the woodwork was hit in both games. And Leipzig play this fast break game, and we seem to be pressing more. And that's how they play. So we could get stung by them. I'm thinking 2-2, or maybe it just might be the end of the record by the odd goal. I hope not. I think with Wolfsburg, don't know, a draw, maybe. I think these are tough, but hopefully a win. I suppose the most pressing question I have, Mark Jameson might know the answer to this. If Christopher Lenz signs for the construct this week, do the ultras still call him football god? Don't think we've ever had that, have we? They're pretty honour the past players, yeah. but what happens if someone goes there?
That's a tough one. Then again, we have had players that have gone to Dinamo and vice versa. I don't know if they've ever come back after that to... I don't know. It's a tough one. I can't think of any... Can anyone think of anyone that we haven't actually said Fussballgott with any sort of real passion to? I mean, I know that Gikiewicz has been sort of a bit so la-la in a couple of times when he's been visiting us. There was also your man, who was it, who left for Kaiserslautern to play in the Bundesliga and never did. Karl, was it? Marcus Karl?
Karl, yeah.
Yeah, I think he got a bit of a cool reception when he came back a couple of seasons later when Kaiserslautern were further down the table than Union was. I think everyone gets a Fussballgott, I think. And I can't really think of anyone who's and certainly not Lenz, because let's be honest, he did well for us, and he really gave his all for us. I don't think we should hold that too much against him personally.
No, I mean, he's someone who didn't he grow up in the Hertha youth team as well. So don't think we've got any problems with him. Baz, the next couple of games, how are you seeing things?
I'd first like to point out that I don't mention the energy drink at all in the book. I managed to avoid that for obvious reasons. So. They didn't even offer a sponsor deal, but I would have said no as well, obviously. I must agree with Don here in the sense of we play very well against Leipzig in the last couple of years, at home and away. But we have been vulnerable defensively quite a lot. And somebody mentioned a 2-2 draw. Maybe it was you, Mark. I'm not 100% sure, but a 2-2 draw is what I can envisage as well. They're a pretty young team again, so I don't know whether they really know what they're up to at the Alte Försterei, and they're still finding their feet. But on the other side, there's so much talent in that squad that I cannot imagine that they go without a point. I think it's then 3 years in a row. So I'd go for 1 point against Leipzig, and then the factory team. That's always a hard one for us for some really, really strange reason. You know, you have those games, and I'm just going to get back to Gosens for a second, because one of the most interesting things that he said was kind of a statement of intent. And he said, listen, we have to make the next step with the club and with the team. And one of our goals is that we are going to go to away games with the attitude that the opponent is going to be scared of us because a Champions League team is coming there. And that is kind of a mindset that you have to grow into, or you have to buy it. But this is one of those games where we just have to show what we're actually worth. We're not going to win every away game, but this is one of those where Gosens, Juranovic, Becker, the people that, like Aronson, but who might be suspended, no, probably not, not against Wolfsburg, Fofana, they're not impressed by Wolfsburg. They've seen a lot already. And I think that is actually quite a good measurement where we will be this year in away games.
Yeah, that's interesting that you mentioned the mentality thing, Baz. And that will be crucial this year. We have to think of ourselves as a Champions League side when we're milling around those Bundesliga games and playing these sort of mid-table sides. So let's have a think about the different pots. Union, we're going to be in pot four. There's three of the pots. Kyle's thankfully put them in. I won't read them all out, but the draw is on Thursday evening, as we have said. I will actually go first and say, first of all, the team that I would really, really like to face, and I maybe there's no surprise here, or maybe there's a slight surprise, but the team out of all of these that I'd like to face is actually Porto. It's one of my favourite places in the country. It's not where I live in Lisbon, so I get still to have a jaunt with the Unione, but I'd love for us to play Porto. I think it's a great city. They really know their football up there, really friendly. And for me, Porto in pot two would be who I would like, and I'm going to predict that we get them. From pot one, there's so many teams in there that are be amazing to play. I think out of that pot, we're going to draw Man City. I don't know why. I've got a feeling we'd play Man City. Would love to see a few kicks on Grealish. I love him, but a few kicks on Grealish would be great. The last one, I kind of, again, the romantic in me. We just signed someone from Inter Milan. Maybe we'll pull AC Milan. And again, I mean, I'd love to go to the San Siro to see Union. Anyway, that's mine. Who wants to go first? What's your dreams and what's your predictions, Baz Timmers?
For obvious reasons, I love the heat and I love Spain. So I would love to get a Spanish opponent. My favorite actually is Sevilla. I love the city. It's been like 10 years since I've been there. Great stadium. Great experience, and that might be like an away trip that I would really fancy. Another option in Spain would be Real Sociedad. Great city as well, great area. I've been to Bilbao earlier this year, so I wouldn't mind that as well. But Real Sociedad is in pot three, and from pot three, obviously, I would like to have Shakhtar Donetsk, because that's a fourth home game, because we'll be playing Hamburg. Hamburg will finally be seeing some first-class football and some first-class fans as well. That was an easy goal to score, I know. Which leaves us with pot two. There's not so many options left there. I do agree with Mark, Porto being a great away location as well. So I wouldn't mind going there or to Inter Milan as well, just for nostalgic reasons. Cool city as well. 80,000 stadium, so there's actually quite a good chance that the Tifosi are not that interested in filling up that huge place. And there might actually be like 10,000 Uniona. So if I would have to choose, indeed, Sevilla, Inter Milan, Shakhtar Donetsk, and then we'll definitely be in the Europa League, at least in 2024 as well.
I mean, it's just absolutely mouthwatering thinking of these ties. Mark, what's your dream tie in the Champions League?
My dream tie would be one of the two Milan teams, I think. Either just not only just because of the sheer history and the sheer, like, what the fuckness of Union playing against either Inter Milan or AC Milan at home or away. It's the fact that, like, I do sort of support AC Milan on a casual basis because I have mates who are Milan fans, and that would just be an event and a half if we played against them, or if we played against Inter and they were in the Union block supporting us against them, that would also be fantastic events. Even though I should put a dampener on this, and I think that the away organization is just going to be a massive shit show. If the home organization of the Olympiastadion with the ticket portal and last year has shown anything, it's that this is just going to just descend into absolute mayhem. I'm not sure if the away games are going to be something for me. But anyway, that's maybe for another podcast, maybe for another time. In terms of who we're going to get, I think we're going to get Feyenoord from pot one, because fuck you, that's why. I think we're going to get Arsenal. That'll be our big sort of plum tie in pot two. And I think we're going to, just to have a really, really nasty group, we're going to have Lazio in pot three. And that will be a really horrible group for many reasons, because it's one that you'd say, okay, apart from Arsenal, there's no real glamour there. I mean, Lazio maybe a little bit, but we've played Feyenoord already in Europe a couple of seasons ago. And it didn't go down well from a fan perspective either. And I think that's going to be one where people are going to be looking at their tickets and going, we're playing in the Olympia Stadion against this. Let's see. I think that's who we're going to get, and people are going to look at it and going to go, but to be honest, mate, I would be happy with anyone. This is Champions League with Union. This is not Falkensee Finkenkrug. This is not Torgelow Greif. This is the fucking Champions League. I'd be happy with literally anyone.
This is indeed the Champions League. We'll let Kyle go last because he's a bit of a Champions League veteran with Celtic. So, Don, any hopes for you that you people that you want to see, places that you want to go, train journeys that you want to do?
Yeah, I sort of, same as Mark, I said in the last pod, you know, it's just an absolute honour. And none of us, when we started following Union, ever thought this is why we're doing it or this is where we're going. So, you know, all of it will be fun. I didn't realise it was a sort of travel agent opportunity as well. But I suppose in pot one, the only place I haven't been to is Naples. So it would be nice to go there. It's a fantastic city. I think a bit like Mark, the inevitability is that we may end up with Feyenoord for all sorts of reasons. And actually, to be fair, I mean, I live half the time here and the fans are, you know, of a certain demeanour most of the time. But they actually did play really good football last year, played it on the ground. They've lost a couple of players. They're not a bad team. But I've got a little inkling, actually, we might get Benfica. And Mark, I saw you during the podcast going to check something in the house. It looked quite big, your house, which is good because I think you'll have about 25 of us coming to stay in your spare room. So that would be nice to come to Lisbon, spend some time with you. And also, I've been to the Stadium of Light, but it's a nice place to go. In pot two, in a way, I'd quite like Inter. Because I was reading this week in the Italian press that Gosens was classed a failure at Inter, never impressed, never succeeded. They didn't rate him. So, you know, from that point of view, I'd love to go back there and for him to score two and for us to beat them. But I, like Mark, think it's going to be Arsenal. And that's what I'd written down before. And that's obviously a big glamour tie for us. And on the nasty streak in pot three, I didn't think Lazio. I think it's going to be Red Star, which is one of the away trips to hell. If you fancy going to that one, they do not greet visitors very well there, fans. But Belgrade on a rainy November night would be a very interesting experience. But let's see. As you all see, it's going to be fun, and we'll certainly see the ones at home and see how we get on with possibilities away. But I will go if I get the chance. We went to Malmo last year and a few of us went to the away games, and it's, you know, it's good to see you've done it.
Indeed, indeed. I'm sure even if tickets aren't available at one of the smaller venues, that if it's in close proximity on the peninsula here, I'll certainly try and go. And generally, if you turn at places, there's always a way of getting a ticket some way. Kyle, what's your thoughts as we close down the pod today?
I'm looking forward to us drawing Greifswalde and Chemi Leipzig. It's crazy to actually be talking about these teams, and you know, as the as the Tifo said in the first match day, you know, the key to our success is not forgetting where we've came from. And it is incredible that we are about to scrap it out with these historic names and some not so historic, some petrol states instead. But it's incredible that we're amongst this and we've done it we've done it our own way, and we've done it, I would like to say, the right way as well. It's incredible, and it really is what dreams are made of, you know, to go from, you know, in the last 14 years, we've been playing, you know, we were playing Dritte Liga, where it's not too far back. We were playing even divisions lower than that. And here we are, like, it doesn't get higher than this. It's incredible. So yeah, as long as I have been saying for ages that we can't draw Celtic, and there is a slight possibility we can. It would require four fixtures to fall a certain way. That would be my absolute nightmare. I would hate it so much. So hopefully that does not happen. In terms of who I want, I've always said I'd love an away day in the UK. You know, I think back to QPR and that being one of the best days out I've had with Union. And even though we lost, it's pre-season friendly, it doesn't matter the result. You go to have fun, and it's always been the way. So any of the teams in the UK, obviously not Celtic if that ends up becoming a possibility, but hopefully it doesn't. Yeah, so let's go with pot one. If anyone but Feyenoord or Man City, I think, you know, there's some really cool places to go there. Napoli was mentioned, and Naples would be an incredible place to go. I'm sure that Unión would embrace that in style. Seville would be a nice place to go in September, October, November, nice and sunny and that. Then again, we don't know if the Spanish teams will be there, if their federation continues this scorched earth policy. We'll see if they get withdrawn or not. But yeah, if I had to pick one, Benfica has been shouting out to us for ages. I think that is who we're going to draw. And it'd be nice to come up against one of the nicest kits in Europe this season. Benfica's away kit this year is superb in my eyes. Pot two, I think Man United would be fun. Probably the closest game for me to get to down south. Be a big allocation since it's such a big ground in that. I think it'd be really good fun, and a team that I think we can beat. I think we can, on our day, beat pretty much any team here. Particularly if we were playing at the AF, yeah, absolutely. Maybe not so much at the Olympia Stadion, but we'll see. And then pot three, I like the shout for Shakhtar Donetsk. We did well in Hamburg last time out. I'm sure that would be another home game for us. It would be fun, even if it would maybe lack some of the away atmosphere. Although maybe some of the fans of the local sides around there will gather together to become their own away section. If Rangers make it, I absolutely want to draw them, because I'd love to go and batter them again. Probably because I don't back Celtic to go and do that this weekend, because they're playing terrible at the moment. But yeah, I think that'd be fun to have on your own in my neck of the woods. Maybe not my neck of Glasgow, but very close by. I think it'd just be such a novelty and really good fun.
Well, once the draw is made, we're going to know, are we going to Spain? Are we going to Scotland? Are we going to England? Are we going to Italy? Just saying that is bringing goosebumps to me, to be honest. So can't wait for the draw. It's been a great episode. Loved hearing about your book, Baz. Massive congratulations again, and hope your signing goes well. Hopefully you get to see Don. Always nice when us guys can connect in the real world and not just online. Thanks to everyone for listening to Matushka's Right Peg, episode 25. Und niemals vergessen, Isa Onyewa.